Chapter 41. An Unexpected Ally. Galad ran with his shield raised high. Bornhold joined him, also holding a shield and tossing aside his lantern as those unnatural lights flared in the air. Neither spoke. The hail of arrows would begin momentarily. They reached the horse pickets where a pair of nervous grooms handed over their horses. Galad lowered his shield, feeling terribly exposed as he swung on to Stout's back. He turned the horse and got the shield back up. He could hear the familiar twang of bows, distant, arrows snapping as they rained down. Nothing fell near him. He hesitated. The lights hanging in the air made it as bright as a night with a full moon, maybe brighter.
"What's going on?"
Bornhold said, horse dancing nervously beneath him.
"They missed? Those arrows are falling well outside of camp."
"Trollocs!" A shout from camp. "There are thousands of them coming down the roadway."
"Monsters!"
A terrified Amadisian yelled.
"Monsters of the shadow! Light! They're real?"
Galad glanced at Bornhold. They galloped their horses to the edge of camp, white cloaks streaming behind them, and looked up the road to the northwest. At a slaughter. Waves of arrows fell from the heights, crashing into the mob of shadow spawn. The creatures howled and screeched, some trying to run for Galad's camp, others to climb toward the archers. Trollocs exploded suddenly into the air, the ground heaving beneath them, and fire fell from above. Ebara's channelers had joined the fight. Galad took it in.
"Foot! Form a shield wall on the western side of the camp," he bellowed. "Crossbowmen, to those ruins there! Split the legions into 8 cavalry companies and prepare to sally! Bowmen, get ready!"
The children were primarily a cavalry force. His men would ride out, hit the Trollocs in waves, one company at a time, then retreat back behind the foot's defensive shield wall. Crossbowmen to weaken the Trolloc lines before the heavy cavalry hit them with lances, archers to cover them as they returned behind their defenses. The orders were passed quickly, the children moving more efficiently than the Amadisians. Bornhold nodded. This was a mostly defensive posture, but that made the most sense, at least until Galad could sort through what was happening. Hoofbeats announced Byer galloping up. He reared his horse, then turned, eyes wide.
"Trollocs? How?" "It's Ebara. He's brought an army of shadow spawn."
"If he did," Galad said, "he's treating them to a slaughter."
Byer edged closer.
"It's exactly like the Two Rivers. Dane, you remember what he did? Trollocs attack, Ebara rallies a defense and therefore earns support."
"What would be the point?" Bornhold said.
"To trick us."
"By killing as many Trollocs as it gains him in followers?" Bornhold frowned.
It makes no sense. If Ebara can command thousands of Trollocs, why would he need us?"
"His mind is sick, twisted,"
Byer said.
"If he didn't have something to do with the appearance of the Trollocs, then how did both show up right now, at the same time?"
Well, there was at least a grain of truth in that, Galad had to admit.
"For now," he said, "it gains us the time we need to form up. Bornhold, Byer, help pass my orders. I want the riders ready to sally as soon as the crossbowmen finish."
He hesitated.
"But let the men know that we are not to expose our flanks to Ebara. Keep some foot with pikes at the base of those heights, just in case."
Trollocs fell screaming under the arrows. Still more continued to appear, and many of the beasts didn't fall until they had multiple arrows in them. The shadow spawn were preparing for a rush up the incline toward Perrin's forces. If they did, he'd have his foot hold for a time, then pull them back and run the cavalry sweep along in front of them.
"How did you know?"
Fael asked softly. He glanced at her.
"It's time for you three to retreat behind to the rear guard."
He glanced at Berylaine, white-faced on her horse, as if seeing the Trollocs had unhinged her. He knew her to be of stronger steel than that, however. Why did she smell so worried?
"I will go," Fael said. "But I have to know."
"It made sense," Perrin said. "That dome was meant to keep us from fleeing by gateway, but it was also to encourage us along the road, to keep us from traveling directly to Andor. It seemed odd to us that Master Gil would turn along the road disobeying orders, but it happened because he was convinced by people coming from the north that the way was impassable. Plants by our enemies, I suspect, to lure us this direction. We were being herded all along. They weren't waiting for us to engage the White Cloaks. They were waiting for us to make for Lugard as fast as we could. If we'd tried to go cross-country, I'll bet something would have happened to turn us back. They desperately wanted us to walk into their ambush. Galad's force probably wasn't part of it. He was a burr that got under their saddle.
But the Trollocs, where?
I think it must be a portal stone, Perrin said. I knew some kind of attack was going to come here. Didn't know how. I half thought it would be Drakkar from the sky, or a waygate we'd missed. But those ruins Arganda pointed out seem like they might be a good place for a portal stone. It must be buried, having fallen under the river when it changed its course. The Trollocs aren't coming out of the ground. I think they're appearing from the stone. This was the trap. They probably would have attacked us much earlier, but the White Cloaks were in the way. They had to wait for us to deal with them. And then we left. So
they attacked Damodred and his men, Fael said. After setting up the trap, they at least wanted to do some damage to those who might fight later on.
I suspect one of the Forsaken is behind this, Perrin said, turning toward Grady.
One of the Forsaken?
Alejandra said, voice rising.
We can't fight one of the Forsaken.
Perrin glanced at her.
What did you think you were signing up to do, Alejandra, when you joined me? You fight for the Dragon Reborn and Tarmogoyf itself. We'll have to face the Forsaken sooner or later.
She paled, but to her credit she nodded.
Grady!
Perrin called to the Ashaman, who was firing blasts down at the Trollocs.
You still sense channeling?
Only on and off, my lord, Grady called back. Whoever it is, they're not terribly strong, and they're not joining the battle. I think they must be doing something to bring the Trollocs. Jumping in with fists of them, then jumping away immediately to fetch more.
Watch for him, Perrin said. See if you can take him down.
Yes, my lord,
Grady said, saluting. So it wasn't one of the Forsaken bringing the Trollocs directly. That didn't mean this wasn't the work of one of them, just that they hadn't decided to commit themselves directly.
Back with you three, Perrin said to Fael, Berylaine, and Alejandra, hefting his hammer.
The Trollocs had begun charging up the rise, many dropping to arrows, but there were enough that some would reach the top soon. It was time to fight.
You don't know how many of them there are, my husband, Fael said softly. They keep coming. What if they overwhelm us?
We'll retreat through a gateway if things turn poor for us, but I'm not letting them have the White Cloaks without a fight. I won't leave any man to the Trollocs, not even their lot. They ignored the Two Rivers when we were attacked. Well, I won't do the same. And that's that.
Fael, suddenly, leaned over to kiss him.
Thank you.
For what?
For being the man that you are,
she said, turning her mount and leading the other two away. Perrin shook his head. He had been worrying that he'd need to have Grady wrap her up in air and tow her away. He turned back to the approaching Trollocs. The Two Rivers men weren't making it easy for them to get up the incline. The men were running out of arrows, though. Perrin hefted Ma'alainir. A part of him felt sorry to bathe the weapon in blood so soon after its birth, but the greater part of him was pleased. These Trollocs, and those who led them, had caused Hopper's death. A fist of Trollocs crested the hilltop, a fade moving in behind them, led by another fade with a black sword. Perrin let out a roar and charged forward, hammer held high. Galad cursed, turning stout and chopping his sword down into the neck of a Trolloc with the head of a bear. Dark, thick blood spurted out in a noisome gush, but the beasts were terribly difficult to kill. Galad had heard the stories, had trained with men who had fought Shadowspawn. Still, their resilience surprised him. He had to hack at the creature three more times before it dropped. Already Galad's arm was aching. There was no finesse to fighting monsters like this. He used horseback sword forms, but often the most direct and brutal of them. Woodsman strips the branch, arc of the moon,
striking the spark. His men weren't faring well. They were boxed in, and there was no longer room for lances. The sallying attacks had worked for a time, but the heavy cavalry had been forced to retreat back to the foot lines, and his whole force was being pushed east. The Amadisians were being overwhelmed, and the force of the attack was too great to allow further cavalry charges. All the children on horseback could do was swing their weapons wildly in an attempt to stay alive. Galad turned stout, but two snarling Trollocs leaped for him. He quickly took one across the neck with Heron Snatches the Silverfish, but the creature fell forward onto Stout, causing the horse to lurch away. Another brute slashed a catchpole at the horse's neck. The horse fell. Galad barely managed to throw himself free, hitting the ground in a heap as Stout collapsed, legs jerking, neck spurting blood across his white shoulder. Galad rolled, sword twisted to the side, but he had hit wrong. His ankle wrenched in pain. Ignoring the pain, he brought his sword up in time to deflect the hook of a brown-furred monster 9 feet tall that stank of death. Galad's parry sent him off balance again.
Galad!
Figures in white crashed into the Trollocs. Reeking blood sprayed in the air. White figures tumbled to the ground, but the Trollocs were driven back. Bornhold stood panting, sword out, shield dented and sprayed with dark blood. He had four men with him. Two others had fallen.
Thank you, Galad said. Your mounts? Cut down, Bornhold said. They must have orders to go after the horses.
Don't want us escaping, Galad said, or rallying a charge.
He glanced down the line of beleaguered soldiers. 20,000 had seemed a grand army, but the battle lines were a mess, and the Trollocs continued to come, wave after wave. The northern section of the children's line was breaking, and the Trollocs were pushing forward there with a pincer movement to surround Galad's force. They'd cut them off on the north and south, then ram them against the hill to the east. Light.
Rally to the northern foot line, Galad yelled.
He ran in that direction as quickly as he could, his ankle protesting, but still functioning. Men joined with him. Their clothing was no longer white. Galad knew that most generals, like Gareth Bryn, didn't fight on the front lines. They were too important for that, and their minds were needed for organizing the fight. Perhaps that was what Galad should have done. It was falling apart. His men were good, solid, but they were inexperienced with Trollocs. Only now, charging across muddy ground on a dark night lit by globes hanging in the air, did he see how inexperienced many of them were. He had some veterans, but the larger group had fought mostly against unruly bandits or city militias. The Trollocs were different. The howling, grunting, snarling monsters were in a frenzy. What they lacked in military discipline, they made up for in strength and ferocity. And hunger. The Murdrol amid them were terrible enough to break a formation all on their own. Galad's soldiers were buckling.
Hold!
Galad bellowed, reaching the breaking section of the line. He had Bornhold and about 50 men. Not nearly enough.
We are the children of the light. We do not give before the shadow.
It didn't work. Watching the disaster play out, his entire framework of understanding started to crack. The children of the light were not protected by their goodness. They were falling in swaths, like grain before the scythe. Worse than that, some did not fight valiantly or hold with resolve. Too many yelled in terror, running. The Amadisians he could understand, but a lot of the children themselves were little better. They weren't cowards. They weren't poor fighters. They were just men. Average. That wasn't how it was supposed to be. Thunder sounded as Galen brought his horsemen around in another charge. They hammered into the Trolloc line and forced many of them off the edge, tumbling them back down the incline. Perrin slammed Ma'alainir into a Trolloc's head. The force of the blow tossed the creature to the side, and, oddly, its skin sizzled and smoked where the hammer had hit. This happened with each blow, as if the touch of Ma'alainir burned them, though Perrin felt only a comfortable warmth from the hammer. Galen's charge punched through the Trolloc ranks, separating them into two cohorts, but there were so many carcasses it was getting difficult for his lancers to charge. Galen withdrew, and a contingent of Two Rivers men moved in and shot arrows at the Trollocs, cutting them down in a wave of screaming, howling, reeking death. Perrin pulled Stepper back, foot soldiers forming around him. Very few of his men had fallen among the Trollocs. Of course, even one was too many. Arganda trotted up on his horse. He'd lost his helmet's plumes somewhere, but he was smiling broadly.
"I've really had such a pleasing battle, eh, Barra?" he said. "Enemies to fell that you need not feel a sting of pity for. A perfect staging area and defensible position. Archers to dream of and Ashaman to stop the gaps. I've laid down over 24 of the beasts myself. For this day alone, I'm glad we followed you."
Perrin nodded. He didn't point out that one of the reasons they were having an easy time of it was that most of the Trollocs were focused on the White Cloaks. Trollocs were nasty, monstrous things, and they had a fiercely selfish streak. Charge up the hillside at Balls of Fire and Longbowmen, only to try and seize ground from 2 full contingents of cavalry? Better to seek the easier foe. And it made tactical sense, too. Focus on the easier battle first, when you had 2 fronts to fight on. They were trying to crush the White Cloaks back against the hillside as quickly as possible, and had swarmed them, not leaving them room to ride their cavalry in charges, separating groups of them. The person leading this understood tactics. This wasn't the work of Trolloc minds.
"Lord Perrin!"
Jory Conger's voice rose above the din of howling Trollocs. He scrambled up to Stepper's side.
"You asked me to watch and tell you how they were doing. Well, you'll want to look, maybe."
Perrin nodded, raising his fist, then making a chopping motion. Grady and Niald stood behind him on a rock formation that could look down toward the roadway. Their main orders were to take down any Murdrol they spotted. Perrin wanted to keep as many of those things as possible off the heights. It could cost dozens of lives to kill a single Murdrol with the sword or axe. Best to kill with fire, from a distance. Besides, sometimes killing one of the Fades would mean killing a complement of Trollocs linked to it. The Ashaman, Aes Sedai, and Wise Ones saw Perrin's signal. They began a full assault on the Trollocs, fire flying from hands, lightning blasting from the sky, pushing the Trollocs back down the incline. Perrin pulled back for a few moments' rest. Perrin nudged Stepper to the edge, looking down the slope to the south, holding Ma'alainir down by his leg. Below, Damodred's force was doing even worse than Perrin had worried. The Trollocs had drilled forward, nearly dividing the White Cloaks into 2 sections. The monsters were surging around the sides and trapping Galad, making the White Cloaks fight on 3 fronts. Their backs were to the hillside, and many groups of cavalry had been cut off from the main body of fighting. Galen trotted up beside Perrin.
"The Trollocs are still appearing. I'd guess 50,000 of the beasts so far. The Ashaman say they've only sensed the one channeler, and he isn't engaging."
"The one leading the Shadowspawn won't want to commit their channelers," Perrin guessed. "Not with us having the high ground. They'll leave the Trollocs to do what damage they can and see if they can gain the upper hand. If they do, we'll see their channelers come out."
Galen nodded.
"Damodred's force is in trouble."
"Yes," Galen said. "You positioned us well to help them, but it appears we weren't enough."
"I'm going down for them," Perrin decided. He pointed. "The Trollocs are surrounding him, boxing him in against the hillside. We could sweep down and surprise the beasts with a broadside, breaking through and freeing Damodred's men to get themselves up on the plateau here."
Galen frowned.
"Pardon, Lord Perrin, but I must ask. What is it that you feel you owe them? I would have sorrowed if, indeed, we'd come here to attack them, though I would have seen its logic. But I see no reason to help them."
Perrin grunted.
"It's just the right thing to do."
"That is a subject of debate," Galen said, shaking his armored head. "Fighting the Trollocs and Fades is excellent, for every one that falls is one fewer to face at the last battle. Our men get practice fighting them, and can learn to control their fears. But that slope is steep and treacherous. If you try to ride down to Damodred, you could destroy our advantage."
"I'm going anyway," Perrin said.
"Jory, go get the 2 Rivers men and the Ashaman. I'll need them to soften the Trollocs for my charge."
He looked down again. Memories of the 2 Rivers fluttered his mind. Blood. Death. Ma'alainir grew warmer in his fist.
I won't leave them to it, Galen. Not even them. Will you join me? You are a strange man, Nebara.
Galen hesitated.
And one of true honor. Yes, I will. Good. Jory, get moving. We must reach Damodred before his lines break.
A shock ripped through the mass of Trollocs. Galad hesitated, sword gripped in sweaty fingers. His entire body ached. Moans came from all around him. Some guttural and snarling, Trollocs dying, some piteous from fallen men. The children near him were holding. Barely. The night was dim, even with those lights. It felt like fighting nightmares. But if the children of the light could not stand against darkness, who could? The Trollocs began howling more loudly. Those in front of him turned, speaking to one another in a crude, snarling tongue that caused him to pull back in revulsion. Trollocs could speak? He hadn't known that. What had drawn their attention? And then he saw it. A hail of arrows, falling from above, ripped into ranks of the nearby Trollocs. The Two Rivers bowmen lived up to their reputation. Galad wouldn't have trusted most archers to shoot like that, not without stray arrows falling on the White Cloaks. These archers were precise, however. The Trollocs screamed and howled. Then, from the top of the rise, 1,000 horsemen charged. Lights flashed around them. Fires fell from above, arcing down like red golden lances. They illuminated the horsemen in silver. It was an incredible maneuver. The incline was steep enough that horses could have tripped, fallen, tumbled the entire force into a useless mass of bodies. But they didn't fall. They galloped sure-footed, lances gleaming. And at their front rode a bearded monster of a man with a large hammer held high. Perrin Ebarra himself, above his head a banner flapping, carried by a man riding just behind. The Crimson Wolfhead. Despite himself, Galad lowered his shield at the sight. Ebarra almost seemed aflame from the tongues of fire that surrounded him. Galad could see those wide golden eyes, like fires themselves. The horsemen crashed into the Trollocs that had surrounded Galad's force. Ebarra let out a roar over the din, then began to lay about him with the hammer. The attack forced the Trollocs back.
"Assault!" Galad yelled. "Press the attack! Force them into the cavalry!"
He charged northward, toward the face of the hill, Bornhold at his side. Nearby, Trom rallied what was left of his legion and brought it around to attack the Trollocs opposite Ebarra. The fray grew increasingly chaotic. Galad fought furiously. Above, incredibly, Ibarra's entire army poured down the incline, giving up the high ground. They fell upon the Trollocs, tens of thousands of men yelling, "Golden Eyes! Golden Eyes!" The attack put Galad and Bornhold into the Trollocs' ranks. The creatures tried to pull back from Ebarra, surging in all directions. The men near Galad and Bornhold were soon fighting desperately to stay alive. Galad finished off a Trolloc with ribbon in the air, but spun and immediately found himself facing a ram-faced behemoth 10 feet tall. Horns curled around the sides of an enormous square face, but the eyes were human, and the lower jaw as well. Galad ducked when it swung its catchpole, then rammed his sword up into its gut. The creature screamed, and Bornhold hamstrung it from the side. Galad yelled and leaped backward, but his twisted ankle finally failed him. It got caught in a cleft in the ground, and Galad heard a terrible snap as he fell. The dying monster crashed down on him, pinning him to the ground. Pain shot up his leg, but he ignored it. He dropped his sword, trying to shove the carcass free. Bornhold, swearing, fended off a Trolloc that had the snout of a boar. It made a horrid grunting sound. Galad heaved off the stinking carcass. To the side he could see men in white, Trom with Byr at his side, fighting desperately to reach Galad. There were so many Trollocs, and those children immediately nearby had mostly fallen. Galad reached for his sword just as a mounted figure burst through the shadows and Trollocs just to the north. Ebarra. He rode up and pounded that massive hammer of his into a boar Trolloc, sending it crashing to the ground. Ebarra leaped off his horse as Bornhold scrambled over to help Galad to his feet.
"You are wounded?" Ebarra asked.
"My ankle," Galad said.
"On my horse," Ebarra said.
Galad didn't protest. It made sense.
He did, however, feel embarrassed as Bornhold helped him up. Ibarra's men filled in around them, pushing the Trollocs back. Now that Ibarra's army had joined the fray, Galad's men were rallying. Rushing down the slope had been a dangerous gamble, but as soon as Galad was astride Ibarra's horse, he could see that the gamble had worked. The massive charge had broken the Trollocs apart, and some groups started fleeing. Tongues of flame fell from above, burning Murdral and dropping entire fists of Trollocs linked to them. There was still a great deal of fighting to do, but the tide was turning. Ibarra's forces carved out a section around their leader, giving him, and by extension Galad, some breathing room to consider the next stage of the attack. Galad turned to Ibarra, who was studying the Trollocs with keen eyes.
"I assume you think that saving me will influence my decision about your judgment," Galad said.
"It had better," Ibarra muttered.
Galad raised an eyebrow. It wasn't the response he'd been expecting.
"My men find it suspicious that you appeared so soon before the Trollocs."
"Well, they can think that if they want," Ibarra said. "I doubt anything I say will change their minds. In a way, this is my fault. The Trollocs were here to kill me. I just got away before they could spring their trap. Be glad I didn't leave you to them. You White Cloaks have caused me nearly as much grief as they have."
Oddly, Galad found himself smiling. There was a straightforward air about this Perrin Ibarra. A man could ask for little more in an ally.
"Are we allies, then?" Galad thought, nodding to Trom and Byar as they approached. "Perhaps for now." He did trust Ibarra. Yes, perhaps there were men in the world who would put together an intricate plot like this one, all to trick his way into Galad's favor. Valda had been like that. Ibarra wasn't. He really was straightforward. If he'd wanted the children out of his way, he'd have killed them and moved on.
"Then so be it, Perrin Ibarra," Galad said. "I name your punishment here, this night at this moment."
Perrin frowned, turning away from his contemplation of the battle lines.
"What? Now?" "I deem, as punishment, that you pay blood price to the families of the dead children in the amount of 500 crowns. I also order you to fight in the last battle with all the strength you can muster. Do these things, and I pronounce you cleansed of guilt."
It was an odd time for him to give this proclamation, but he had made his decision. They would still fight, and perhaps one would fall. Galad wanted Ibarra to know the judgment in case. Ibarra studied him, then nodded.
"I name that fair, Galad Damodred."
He held up his hand.
"Creature of darkness!"
Someone moved behind Ibarra, a figure pulling free his sword. A hiss, a flash of metal. Byar's eyes alight with anger. He'd positioned himself right where he could strike Ibarra in the back. Ibarra spun. Galad raised his sword. Both were too slow. But Jarrett Byar's blow did not fall. He stood with his weapon upraised, frozen, blood dribbling from his lips. He fell to his knees, then flopped onto the ground right at Ibarra's feet. Bornhold stood behind him, eyes wide with horror. He looked down at his sword.
It wasn't right to strike a man in the back after he saved us.
He dropped his sword, stumbling back from Byar's corpse.
"You did the right thing, child Bornhold," Galad said with regret.
He shook his head.
"He was a fine officer. Unpleasant at times, perhaps, but also brave. I am sorry to lose him."
Ibarra glanced to the sides, as if looking for other children who might strike him.
"From the beginning, that one was looking for an excuse to see me dead."
Bornhold looked at Ibarra, eyes still hateful, then cleaned his sword and rammed it into his sheath. He walked away toward the area where the wounded had been taken. The area around Galad and Ibarra was increasingly safe. The Trollocs pushed back, more solid battle lines forming made of Ibarra's men and the remaining children.
"That one still thinks I killed his father," Ibarra said.
"No," Galad replied. "I think he believes that you did not.
but he has hated you for very long, Lord Ibarra, and has loved Baya longer. He shook his head. Killing a friend, it is sometimes painful to do what is right. Ibarra grunted. You should get to the wounded, he said, hefting his hammer and looking toward where the fighting was still thick. I am well enough to fight if I have your mount. Well then, let's be on with it. Ibarra eyed him. I'll stay by you, though, just in case it looks like you might fall. Thank you. I'm fond of the horse. Smiling, Galad joined him, and they waded back into the melee.